On the CFO Story, we sit down with CFOs to discuss what's relevant, learn how to navigate in today's markets as a CFO, and give them a platform to share their stories. We want to hear your CFO story.
All right, guys. Hey, welcome back to the CFO Story. I'm your host, Jason Lee, with my co-host, Sammy Aboud.
Hey, guys.
And we are joined today by Dan Dursky from The Dietering Company, and he is a CFO. Dan, glad to have you today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Man, it is exciting to talk today. We're a few episodes into the show. For those that are just tuning in, remember, our vision is really to cast, you know, not only the CFO stories. We feel like CFOs play such an intricate role in the business, but they really are. They have such a diverse skill set, right? It's not just a number cruncher, but they got to be people. They got to be leaders, and so kind of everything that flows through an organization hits the CFO's desk, and right. he really, like, I mean, there's just so much weight on their back. And so we wanted to create a forum and a platform where CFOs could get answers, find solutions, and then ultimately this is going to parlay into really a number of things, from in-person meetings to forums and discussions and things. So we have a big vision for this, Dan, and so you're really kind of a guy who's here to help us kick it off, and so we're thankful for that. So two topics today. We're going to talk a little bit about a startup and what it's like starting a new company. So I think you've got some experience in that. And so,
yeah, absolutely. So yeah. I started a Dietering company 5 months ago, and you know, it's one of those things when you start fresh at a new company, you want to keep a couple things in mind. So everyone's tenacious. Everyone wants to hit the ground running, but got to take a beat, take a breath, be very methodical, but at the same time being very open with your new colleagues and the new company, right?
Cool. Yeah, awesome. So going to dive into that and talk about that. And then we're going to talk about banking. And I think you could plug banking in with vendors, but I think specifically we're going to talk about the kind of the market share right now of what bankers are experiencing and how you guys were able to capitalize on that for your organization. So I think it'd be a great thing it's more of a tactical approach from a CFO perspective. So something that we'll be able to share. So, but before we dive into those and share a little bit about your experiences, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, no, thank you. And thanks again for having me on. So I started my career actually in Omaha, Nebraska, originally from there, college, grad school, but started my career there, commodities, actually. So it was a great lesson in supply chain, worked in ag commodities specifically. So everything from cattle feed to corn, wheat, soy, I like to say everything under the sun, right? So it was a very fun business. The company name was Gavilon. I think they've changed hands a couple times now, so I think they're called something else. But moved to manufacturing shortly thereafter, after getting a good dose of accounting and finance from Gavilon. The manufacturing company was InterSystems. And again, that one has changed hands too, so I forget what it's called now. That was very much a customized product, engineered to order. That one, combining with the background of commodities and supply chain, it was quite an interesting kind of arc. So here's the raw product, and now we're turning it into something more.
Right.
Which was fun to do, actually see something being made and contributing to society out there. It was a lot of fun. But moved down to Houston back in 16 to work for a company named Trustway. We were a component manufacturer for the multifamily industry, so apartments, dormitories, senior living facilities, things of that nature. We recently sold that company back in September. I was VP of finance, all things typical FP&A, budgeting, analytics. We were private equity owned, so the end of that story was always clear. Mm-hmm. So the goal was to sell. Which we had three bites of the apple there, which was fun. But it was a great story there. So when I started there, we were about $250 million, and we topped out considerably more than that, more than twice that, actually. So it was a lot of fun along the way. And again, that story was going to come to an end. But that brings me to Dietering Company, also a building products company, building products distributor, CFO there. Know our CEO very well. He used to work at Trustway, so
we
kept that relationship. And I've done some projects for Dietering over the years, done some modeling for them, kind of helped them look through the finance lens, because historically they have not. But that was a lot of fun, and they extended an offer to me earlier this year. very graciously accepted it. It's family owned, wonderful family owns it. The Dieterings, well known throughout Houston. Dietering Street, right here. I'm sure you've seen
familiar
it.
Familiar with the name for
yep,
sure.
Yep, yep, yep. Same family.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yep. So the building or the company itself, building products, so doors, windows, millwork, brick, stone with our sister company, South Texas Brick and Stone. We are growing by leaps and bounds. We're thinking acquisitions. We just started a lumber yard, so started a new product last week. And I know we're going to talk about banking here in a little bit and how that kind of dovetails together. But we are growing. In fact, our office space is quite full, and we're starting to find that it's difficult to find spots for folks. So
busting at the seams, then, huh?
It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
So talk to us about your experience in starting a new company. I know that's part of the topic today, and so maybe you can help give us kind of an outline of what that experience was like, and really share that for those that are listening.
Yeah, so, you know, starting a new company, and I mentioned it earlier, certainly had my own ideas and, hey, what do I want to focus on, and really wanted to hit the ground running knowing that, hey, we're going to start a new lumber yard and a variety of other things. And I think we've all had managers, and when new people come aboard and they come in, they want to change a whole bunch of stuff right off the bat. And you know, turnaround situations are different. This certainly was not one of those by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, I think it's good to kind of put a little governor on yourself. Yes, want to accomplish a lot as quickly as possible, especially in a new role. This is my first CFO role, to be quite frank. And you just got to remind yourself, hey, there's a bunch of people here. It's a very successful company. Let's take a beat. Let's learn about what people do. That leads into process. Learn about how we do what we do, and we're one of the best in the industry. And then that kind of leads to product, right? So if you take care of the first two, you'll certainly be able to learn the products, products a little bit faster. But it all starts with people. So if you take care of your folks, if you get to know folks, they will help the process. They will make sure that the process is locked down with customers, with the product, make sure we deliver a high quality product. And so starting with people is where I kind of started. Like, hey, let's get to know the team. Let's be very open. Let's keep the door open, keep it very conversational, make it a point to shake everyone's hand, get to know people's story, kids, what do they do in their spare time. It's very important to really connect with the folks around you.
Awesome. So when you made the decision to step into a new environment, I mean, do you have a 30, 60, 90 day plan that you've kind of thought through and how you're going to go about that? Or is it on the fly, or what is that like?
Yeah. So, you know, stepping into a new role, you always go into it with that 30, 60, 90, and then you kind of adjust along the way. Mm-hmm. And you know, it kind of started with, hey, I know we need to grow. And some plans were already made with regards to the lumberyard I mentioned. So it's about kind of peeling back, again, starting with people, but understanding, at least from a CFO perspective, financial statements is where I started. So let's peel back. How does revenue work? How are we relieving cost of goods out of inventory? Let's just go down the balance sheet to income statement line by line and try to understand how are things interconnected? Where do we have insight into information, and kind of peel it back from there? So that was kind of step one for me, first 30 days. And then, of course, through that, asking the questions, how does this work? How does that? You get to meet everybody. But with the lens of the lumber yard, very quickly, hey, let's make sure we know what we need to invest in this lumber yard from a working capital perspective. Inventory, what are the terms with the customers? We're certainly not going to be, if we're extending terms, we're not going to be getting cash day one. So let's plan, let's sit down, let's put some pen to paper, so to speak, or actually pencil, because things do change. But through that lens, decided to quickly focus on banking, right? So we had plenty of liquidity at the company, but at the same time, we're growing. And don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but that kind of leads into the second topic. Needed to focus on banking relationship and get us a little expanded line of credit. I know we'll talk about that later.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Sammy, any thoughts?
So, you know, something you said a few minutes ago, Dan, stuck to me. I think you said kind of at the ground level of your career, you got in on supply chain. and that gave you a really good understanding. And do you feel that that experience kind of helped you now that you're in wholesale building? And did you bring some of that experience into it with kind of a different lens? And so as you're discovering the process of what's in place, you had some things to compare it to, and did you take that experience into it, and was it helpful for you?
Yeah, no, certainly. So, you know, the last couple of years, COVID, it's kind of a broken record saying that COVID changed everything. Well, in the commodities markets, it certainly did.
Yeah.
Everything went awry from stapling $100 bills to barrels of oil to, you know, lumber tripling, if not quadrupling.
Sure.
And certainly, Trustway, the number one component in our business, and it wouldn't trust, is lumber. So with the price of wood skyrocketing, that commodity volatility, yeah, absolutely. That background in commodities certainly helped.
Right.
So I was fortunate enough to be able to put in a hedge process early on for that company in 2018. So with trusses in the multifamily industry, they're very long-term contracts. So, and they're fixed with the customer. So they're going to pay $100 for that truss 9 months later.
Right.
And then you got this commodity volatility that's just going all over the place. Well, at the time, 18, 19, I mean, it was pretty stable, but knowing that that exposure was out there, was able to hedge the forward, where we were able to buy lumber ahead of time, the 6 to 9 months ahead of time. So that way we'd have some structure in our COGS to be able to plan for that. So through that lens, not having that background in commodities would not have been able to nearly help it nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
So had we not hedged, let's talk about that for a second. In 2020, 2021, I mentioned lumber skyrocketed, tripled. Certainly our bottom line margins would have been severely impacted.
Mm-hmm.
We would have been stapling $100 bills to trusses instead of just the barrels of oil. But with that purchase of the forward, COGS very stable, profitability very stable. That helped us buy some time to adjust our pricing. And ultimately, a very, very successful 2020, 2021.
Wow.
And more so 2022, our bottom line quadrupled. That hedge program bought us that time to be able to react.
That's powerful.
Congratulations. That's a powerful statement, right? Not everybody can share that same story, especially in an arena where that was so heavily laden based on the commodities, because I know personally I have clients who have had some very eye-opening and painful experiences because of that, and they don't have that same story because the commodity market was so disrupted. It was more like trying to keep the wheels on the bus and survive for a couple of years. Now they're back to thriving because it's normalized. Was there anything that you took from that season? You know, because I hate to say it, whether it's economically or in business, but we always have a tendency to get lulled to sleep in the good times. And so is there stuff that you took from that experience of having to weather that storm that now you're going to continue to apply going forward everywhere you go?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, I mean, going back to understanding the process, people, product, got to understand where your exposures are, right? So, going to your question, there certainly was an exposure. And when lumber was low, flat, stable, hedging certainly costs something. So if it's not volatile, you're certainly not gaining on the hedge. So it's a cost. So sort of an insurance policy, if you will. So there certainly were naysayers during the periods of time where we were paying and margins were impacted because we were hedging. They certainly could have been higher. But at the same time, you want to protect yourself from that one case where it may triple or quadruple. So with that, you've got to be very forward in explaining to the stakeholders, both management and then, of course, the equity holders, hey, there's this exposure. It's known. Here's what I propose. Here's what we propose to do to mitigate that risk. And ultimately, it's up to the equity holders. If they know the exposure is there and they say, we want to roll the dice, then, hey, that's their decision. But in this case, you know, you hold fast to it, you explain the risk, ultimately you put a process in place to protect yourself.
Yeah. So, Dan, if I may, you mentioned this is your first CFO role. I might disagree with you there.
Okay.
You have been a VP of finance. Okay. So it may not be the same words in the title. Clearly, in listening to you, this is everything you're describing, this is definitely a sandbox you're very comfortable in playing with. What do you attribute to your success, your passion in, you know, looking for the blind spots, hedging, you know? So a lot of people make the mistake that a CFO is just a numbers guy, or a CFO is, you know, maybe he or she is just somebody whose main role is reporting. And there's a lot of hats the CFO wears. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond how to capitalize and take advantage of opportunities. It speaks to understanding risk inherent in the business, but also outside of the business, but in your industry, right? So what do you attribute to your success? I mean, you're a young guy, you're in here, you're CFO for a really cool company in Houston that's growing, you're banging, it's booming. So what, if you had to put your finger on two or three things that you could identify for you personally, what would you pick is kind of your that drove your success up to this point?
Yeah, so it's really persistence and hard work. So there's certainly good times and bad times, and focusing on the good. I mentioned it earlier that the good times could make you kind of complacent, I guess, with the status quo. But continuing to improve, continuous improvement is huge. So my willingness to help partner with the organization, I explained desire to get to know folks around me, get to know everyone from shipping to sales, sales rep to certainly my own folks. But, partnering with the organization, understanding the challenges from the shop floor all the way to the CEO's office, understanding those challenges and helping supply information, analytics, data, so that way folks can make those informed decisions. We talked about hedging, putting together a cohesive package and story of where the business has been and then where you see it going helps inform decisions. I'm very passionate about that. I really like data, and it's certainly a big topic these days, especially with AI. Who knows where we're going to go with that one.
Very relevant, yeah.
But, data is definitely been something that I've focused on at pretty much every single company that I've worked for in the past. So and I'm continuing to do that today. Certainly very early on in the process. But going back to what you're saying, sandbox, being comfortable in, Trustway, we had some leadership changes in that CFO chair. And so that afforded me a certain level of responsibility to help kind of drive certain things that the CFO would probably drive, things like hedging that we talked about. And so grabbing a hold of that opportunity, certainly if you don't grab the bull by the horns, to beat that analogy a little bit, if you don't do it, you're not really, you're being complacent in your role.
Sure.
And so I certainly did that, took the bull by the horns, and here I am.
Awesome. Today. Yeah. It's very evident that you're passionate about it. Just hearing you talk about this, that's really cool.
So shifting gears, I know we were going to bring up the topic of banking. And I think banking could, like I said earlier, we could substitute the dynamic here with any type of vendor relationship, but yours happens to be the banking relationship and what you saw as an area of opportunity. So talk to us about when, not only like what you did, but like where it originated from. So you walk into the company, you address the people, and you notice an opportunity in banking. Let's start from there.
So looking at the banking side of things, stepping into the role 2 weeks in, knowing that, hey, we needed to amplify our liquidity a little bit to really support the lumber business, weren't totally happy with the rate, and there were some other things that our owner wanted in the agreement as well. Our agreement was set to expire in July, so 2 weeks in, I would have rather focused on some other things than going out and seeking other banks and trying to see what the market was looking like in terms of a revolving line of credit. And then in the backdrop of all of this was the regional banking crisis.
Sure.
You had First Republic, that stuff going on, a couple other banks. So certainly the market was a little upset. So it was an interesting time to try to go to market to go find us, let's say, a little bit more favorable deal for ourselves. And again, the timing of it being very, very new certainly wasn't the most ideal. But at the same time, my experience at Trustway, I knew a lot of local bankers, reached out to my contact list, spoke to 8 different banks, including the relationship that we presently have, and really set some ground rules of what we're looking for. And it was really, hey, we're looking for a little extra liquidity to support the new lumber business. And then, of course, there were some other items that the owner wanted as well. And then certainly rate is always a factor. But that was our third item that we were chasing. Looking at some of the proposals we had, there were certainly some more favorable than others, but leveraged those to get us a new bank deal with our existing bank. And the primary factor for us in keeping our relationship with our existing partner, one, it's been very long. It's been a very, very good relationship between the two. And then, of course, speed. So I only had a couple months to help get this new banking deal in place with the context of, hey, we've got a start date on the lumberyard. And we've communicated with our customers that we're going to start this sometime in July.
Wow. Okay.
So I had a deadline that I needed.
So you had your back against the wall.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yes.
So did the banker.
Yes. Sounds like it, right?
Yes.
But I mean, sometimes those situations can really make shine if, you know, you just get down to it, get to work, roll up your sleeves, and let's do it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And pleased to say that we signed that document last week, actually. So three and a half months in, was able to get that done.
Good feeling getting that signed,
pretty
yeah?
Pretty good feel. Oh, absolutely. Getting that 120-page document hitting the desk is always nice. Waiting for some ink.
Yeah, nice. Well, congratulations on that. So as you have some wisdom for those that are perhaps listening, thinking through, you know, really, I guess, back to banks and or just, again, vendors in and of itself, are there any takeaways or key things that you would impart for a CFO who's perhaps looking and or, you know, listening to this podcast that might be in a similar situation, or maybe they're not in that situation, but it could come their way?
Yeah. So I think you take everything with a grain of salt, and certainly when you're starting a new company, the context of my experience, getting information left and right, getting up to speed on so many different topics, learning the company, learning about all the various products that we offer, getting to know the customer base, getting to know the people that work at the company, getting to know the expectation of other managers, getting to know the expectations of ownership. There was a lot going on. So I think, you know, hey, at the end of the day, not internalizing that, not getting stressed out about all that, and then just taking it day by day, and then slowly mapping out a pathway forward is how I approached it. And mm-hmm. I would recommend the same to anyone. So it's certainly thinking about everything all at once could get very overwhelming.
And would you say in that process of what you just described is along the way you're building levels of trust between yourself, and since you're the new guy, right? Like, here I come, and you know, instead of coming in guns blazing, sounds like you were willing to, you know, find out what are the processes in place, and when they see your interest level, they get to know, you know, the individuals, right? It's not, you know, the names, the people, their, you know, their roles and how pivotal they are in the company. Could you see that level of trust just kind of building and budding as you go? And would you say that was something that kind of helped you along the way as well?
Absolutely. You know, it's easy to ask questions. Mm-hmm. It's the ability to ask questions is infinitesimal, right? So, but the being just showing that partnership, willingness to learn, willingness to change, going back to my original comments, just building that bridge slowly, plank by plank, really, to your point, Sammy, is really important. And through this process, certainly develop some relationships mm-hmm. throughout the entire business with this, especially I had the luxury of the lumber group, all the folks there, 22 individuals that came on about the same time I did. And so kind of planning together with them, really, and all of us kind of came in at the same time, I think really, really helped.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. You all are kind of in the same boat, so to speak. That's really neat.
So as we start to gear up and wrap up the episode, are there any words of wisdom or any thoughts that you'd want to impart to anybody listening to this based on your experiences that you've had?
Yeah, so, you know, I've kind of beaten it a little bit, but, you know, humility, I think, mm-hmm. is key to really building successful relationships and partnerships, not only with your own team, but across the table. Just thinking back at the experiences at the last couple of companies I've worked at, and certainly hoping to do the same here at Dietering Company. But let's take sales, for example. You know, two different parts of the organization, but being able to show what you have to offer on the data, the analytics side, willing to understand the challenges of what the sales force is facing, certain customer demands, operational demands, trying to get stuff on time, accurately to the customer, being able to support them and showing them capability, but at the same time, not trying to cross into their sandbox and change a whole bunch of stuff on them, but just willing to extend that hand and say, hey, I'm here to help. I'm not just trying to push out financial statements. There's much more to the finance side of the organization than that. So I think being humble and what you're trying to do, I think, is key.
Yeah.
And are you doing, like, I mean, it sounds like you've got, I mean, obviously you clearly have technical expertise. And now here you are, and you've referenced people and humility, and the term people keeps coming around. How have you learned to strengthen and sharpen your skills when it comes to leadership, right? So what, like, not everybody, you know, do they send you to leadership camp or leadership, you know, you don't get to get that opportunity. All of a sudden you go from probably kind of a commodities or business to waking up one day and now you're stepping into a new environment and you're leading all these people. So what things do you do to sharpen your leadership tools?
No, absolutely. You know, there's a few books that can be read, but yeah, to your point, there's some leadership seminars and classes that I've gone to. It was part of the MBA program that I went to as well, out at University of Nebraska, Omaha. But you know, generally, to keep up on that side, it's been seminars, it's reaching out to other leaders, syncing up with them, communication, and sharing stories, swapping stories, and sharing experiences, I think, is one of the biggest things for me.
Great. And didn't you have a few, I think we were talking before the show, and you mentioned a few people, you know, that had impacted you from a leadership perspective. And I know you can read all the books, you can go all the seminars, but some of the best ways to learn how to lead are from the guys who teach you. So did you have some guys that had an influence or some folks that had an impact on your leadership?
Yeah, no, absolutely. There's one specific individual. His name is Kevin Clark. He's uh-huh. the CEO of Acres. I worked for him at a couple different companies. I know he's CEO now, but he was CFO at Trustway, at InterSystems, and I worked for him at Gavilon. So
wow.
If you draw an arc across my career, he's been there.
He was involved, yeah.
He was very, very much there.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And so
that's your guy.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
When I've got a difficult question that I'm trying to answer, certainly he's at the top of the phone list.
Hmm. Awesome.
He certainly helped me a couple times during the sale process of Trustway, just bouncing ideas and questions. How should I handle working capital calculations, for example? Stuff that I had not been exposed to. So yeah, he's a very valuable resource. Great guy. Exceptional leader. Couldn't say nicer things about him.
Fantastic. I think we're going to have to give him a nudge and see if we can get him on our show.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Might have to find a plane for him.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Well, you know what? We can always hop on a Zoom. So
there's one more group of folks that I'd also like to
okay.
give a shout out
yeah.
to. So the operational leaders at Trustway, they're at BFS now, but those guys work hard. They taught me some very valuable lessons in humility. Coming in with a bunch of different experience, really trying to show it in the best way sometimes, but they helped kind of shape that side of me and where I am today.
And really
wanted to give those guys a shout out as well.
Good awesome. For you, man. Congratulations, man. So you have done a fantastic job, Dan. I mean, a lot of times I'm not sure if any of our guests have been on podcasts really so far. We're breaking in a lot of rookies, but you guys are naturals. And I think one of the things that I love the most about the guests that we've had, and yourself included, is I just, not all accounting minds are the same, right? And so a lot of times when I run into people who have the skill set that you guys have when it comes to diving into numbers and understanding the data, that doesn't necessarily translate to the best interpersonal skills, you know? And so, but everybody we've had on this show has really got a niche for that. Like, just this incredible gift. And you can just see that you've got the same thing. And it's amazing to see. It's probably one of the most things I appreciate the most about CFOs, because they really, it's such a unique blend, you know, and I can't think of anybody in their organization that has to have both things at such a high level. Right. And so you're a shining example of it, and you've been a great guest for us today, and very, very thankful for that. Sammy?
Yeah, we really appreciate you joining us today, Dan. We hope you found this useful. And as you know, as we discussed, this is just a piece of what Jason and I are looking to do. And we really want to collaborate with you and guys like you, Dan, girls, like, you know, in this, whatever industry it is, we want to give CFOs a space to come and tell their story. And I hope that you feel like you've had a chance to do that today. So we appreciate you joining us. Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate you guys having me on. I look forward to being a subscriber and listening to see where you guys take this thing.
Yeah, cool.
And listening to the various stories of the CFOs to come.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So for our audience, again, Dan, thank you. And for our audience, we want to thank you for joining us. We would ask that you continue to stay tuned in, stay plugged in. You can follow myself and Sammy. The best way to reach us and get connected and plugged into us is through LinkedIn. And if you're interested in being on the show, or if you have somebody who should be on the show, make sure you reach out and connect us. We'd love to know you, love to get plugged in. You can stay tuned to our shows in any of your favorite places to get plugged into podcasts, and we will continue to try to push out great content with great CFOs or those that are involved with CFOs to help tell their story and build a network of professionals who can go out and do big things. We're thankful for having you today. Thanks, Dan, and we'll see you guys on next week's show.